This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
But let's have a little dose of reality for a second here. This is a team that started out horrendously last year. This is a team that barely made the postseason last year. And I feel like the givens are, oh, well, because, and I've even said this myself, well, because they did it last year with the starting pitching, they're going to do it again. That's not really any, that argument doesn't hold any water. That's not, well, just because Stearns figured out last year with a pitching staff that nobody believed in, he's going to do it again. No, that's not a guarantee. Is Pete Alonso going to have a big year after two down years? Are we so sure that Pete Alonso is going to have a big year? How about Brandon Nimmo? Is he going to be able to stay healthy and have a productive year? How about Vientos? Is he legit? So while those things can happen, I look at this Mets team and saying they actually need to go out there and prove it before we sit back and say, yeah, this can be a World Series contending team, especially when you look at their own division.
These are the old battle scars that resurface for a fan base that's not used to winning consistently. I get it, but I also think that when I look at the Mets organization, and I said this a long time ago, but I think today's the day to say it again, this Mets franchise right now is as healthy as I've seen it in a long time. Guarantees nothing this year.
Right.
But you look at this, Al, you've got the owner that everybody wanted that's spending money the exact opposite of the Wilpons check. You've got a general manager who was young, who was innovative, who was ahead of the curve, who was very, very good at several very easy to identify things, namely pitching. You got that. You know, Buck, I think we all love Buck Showalter, but Buck was a little long in the tooth and a little reluctant maybe to embrace some of the new things that are required to, that you have to embrace as a baseball manager. You got Mendy, who's young and really good. You got the superstar, you got the co-star, and you've got some youth, and you've got a minor league system, which was basically barren and bereft of any talent for a long time. So I know what you mean. I mean, you could make the case that the Mets were closer to being a non-playoff team than they were the World Series, but I strip it all the way, and I think when you look at the flaws of the other teams outside of the Dodgers in the NL, I think the Mets are right there. I think the Mets are going to be good.
Fair enough, but, I mean, we've been wrong before. I think they're going to be good, too, but how do we know this was not a one-off? Where's their track record? If we say this with the Yankees, there's a track record behind it that the Yankees have had sustained success. Now, they have to start somewhere, the Mets do, and you hope that this is it. We've been down this road many times before. I could go back to 2006. I mean, you want to go back to 86, really, and what happened in 87 and 88 and 89. Okay, fair enough, but that's a long time ago, 30 years ago, or 40 years ago at this point. You go back to 2006. What happened in 07? Collapse. What happened in 08? Now, this is not scorn Net fan. I'm just bringing up reality. How about the years where we thought that the Mets were going to be, when they made the playoffs, you know, with Steve Cohen comes in here and looking like they're going to be a playoff team and this is going to be it, and they make the playoffs with Buck Showalter in 2022. What about 2023? They go get Verlander, bring him in. Okay, well, the Mets are going to, they're not going to miss the postseason again with all the money that they spend. They're going to start the sustained run now. And it didn't happen like that. Again, I'm not predicting that that is what's going to happen this year. All I'm saying is I need to see it. We need a little dose of reality right now before we sit back and say, well, the Mets are going to be one of the premier teams, and I love the Soto acquisition, and I like the way this team is built, certainly the lineup. They actually have to do it. Remember, this is still a franchise that in its history has made the postseason in consecutive years two times.
I get it.
And how many we've been sucked in a lot more than two times to think, okay, this is now the time where they're going to go on the sustained run. I do believe it's now, but I also believed it was 2023. Mm-hmm. I also believed it was 2007, and obviously I was proven wrong.
That's why I started this by saying the old battle scars are popping up. I get it. All right, so in a lot of ways, I think that the Mets are kind of like the Giants in this regard. Not the bad part of the Giants, but Dable and Shane's first year, big overachievement, expectations soar, And the Giants made a lot of mistakes along the way. So instead of moving forward, they regressed. And here the Giants are. Lord knows what they do in the draft. And Lord knows where they go this year. And if these guys are even back in 2026. The Mets, when Cohen bought the team, they were really down. I mean, they were basically broken. They didn't have a lot of young talent in the minors. They didn't have a lot of highly appealing major league talent. All right, you had Alonso and you had Lindor. And even Lindor was up to a rough start in New York. And even though Pete was a terrific home run hitter and a higher average hitter, you know, it's not like you had Albert Pujols. So I think that the Mets, by overachieving, even if that, I don't even know if that's fully the right word, but by achieving what they did early, maybe earlier than expected for some, I think the expectation soared, and rightfully so. And then you took a big step back. Buck was fired. Then last year was good, really good. And now you add Juan Soto. So, you know, you keep throwing steam into the sails here. I think that that's fine. I think that we could say this about every team. Well, we got to do it. Got to do it. Understood.
But that's the point. See, that's why I say I'm using examples in Mets history just to back up my point here. But it's really not just about the Mets. It's about any team. How about the Diamondbacks? They come off a World Series appearance. And then last year, it's everybody's drawing. Well, the Diamondbacks, they're going to be up. And they make moves in the offseason.
Yeah.
And then what? They don't even make the playoffs last year. So how do we know?
Well, we don't know that the Mets will be up. No, we don't. I'll give you that.
How do we know that it wasn't a one-off?
We don't.
How do we know that last year wasn't a one-off? And when you actually look at the entirety of last year, it wasn't like the Mets ran roughshod over the National League.
No.
They got hot at the right time. I'm not trying to minimize it because it was a great run. One of the great runs that the franchise has ever had in an individual season. But they started off awful. It took a lot to even make the postseason. They were lucky to get in, and then the magic really kicked in for, what, a few weeks span. Yes, they are loaded. I love the acquisition of Soto. They've done a lot of the things that I would have wanted them to do in the offseason, pitching a little light, but I'm not going to go nuts about that. I just need to see this formula be sustained before we just sit back and say it's a given that the Mets are going to be a playoff team or one of the more dominant teams in baseball, especially when you look at the competition, not only in their own division, but also the National League.
Okay, so if the pitching was better, you still feel the same way? Or is it just...
I think it's a combination. So you're relying... There's a lot of things. You're relying on... Now, I do trust Stearns, but he did it for 1 year.
I know.
So how do we know that just because it happened a year ago, that it's going to happen again?
We don't know.
That's number one. Whereas if it were 3 or 4 years in a row, you could say, well, I mean, this is a given because this is what he does every year. He'll figure out a way. It might be that way, but we don't know that yet. I love Mark Vientos. Mark Vientos came out of nowhere last year. Do we know with certainty he's going to be a stud? I think there are indications that he will be, but that's got to be proven. I'm high on Brandon Nimmo this year. Nimmo's the cleanup hitter right now. Do we know that he's going to be able to stay healthy and produce? We don't know that. Alonso, the same thing. So it's not just the pitching. I think there are other areas around this team. And again, I do believe they're going to be a playoff team. But I said the same thing in 2006, 2007. Said the same thing in 2022 to 2023. The way it looks now, it could look a little different in a couple of months.
All right, I know the callers want to jump in. But this is why I started the conversation when you said what you said about big picture for the New York Mets. Like, I get it. There's been other years of disappointment. You ran through the lineage of Mets seasons that were supposed to be great that wound up in flames, even if it was a rough start. And I'll tell you what, I'll take it a step further. Even if it's a rough season, what I said I would still believe.
Right.
I still believe in the owner. I still believe in the GM. I still believe in the manager. I still believe in the superstar. I still believe in the star. I still believe in the ancillary pieces and the depth and the organizational direction. So while other years and decades have been hijacked because they didn't have those components to stabilize it, even if it does go a little
awry. Agree with that 100%, and that should make every Met fan feel good. But ultimately, you know this. It's about the results.
Always is.
And you would think
always
that they're set up best to have the results, but you just never know. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Friends of Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Mike is in Long Beach. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Let me get you a speaker. How you guys doing?
Good, Mike. What's up?
Hey, Mike.
Real quick, I got to ask you now about Pete Alonso. Now, a few months ago, you guys established, which I agree, that batting average is not held in the same regard as it used to be. Okay, we also agree that Pete Alonso is a one-dimensional player. We want home runs and RBIs. Last year was a down year, but 2 years ago, you keep saying two down years, he gave us 46 home runs and 118 RBIs.
Hey, but
I don't care what his on-base percentage is. I don't care what his batting. If he gave you 46 and 118 this year, you're going to care what his batting average is?
Yes.
How is that a down year for a one-dimensional player?
Because he hit 217, and his average is a what, 250?
But batting average for Pete Alonso, home runs and RBIs.
His career average is, then go get somebody else that could just hit home runs for a lot cheaper, because you could find guys that'll strike out a ton, hit 200 or 190, and hit some home runs. I'm not taking away from Pete.
46 and 118, I would take 46.
How many home runs did he have last year?
How
many home runs did he have last year?
That last year was the down year. I don't consider 2 years ago a down year when he's just
he hit
270.
Mike, what's his career average?
A one-dimensional power hitter, 46 and 118.
Then you shouldn't be paying him $30 million a year. I mean, you can't just say that he's a one-dimensional power hitter that you're paying to be the best first baseman or the highest-paid first baseman in Major League Baseball.
Listen, Pete, God, he is a polarizing baseball player for all the reason we hit a million times. I think that Pete Alonso, I think last year was the anomaly. I do. I think he's going to be better than last year. And I understand where the average was 2 years before that. You wish he was a 250, 260, 265 guy.
But that's his career,
guy.
So it was a down year.
Understood.
Not in your opinion.
Yeah, no, I get it.
In accordance with his career.
Yeah, but like it's one thing to hit 220 and have almost 50 home runs and almost 120 ribbies. It's another thing to go 34, 88, 89, whatever, and look like a shell of who you were. Like that, last year was not the real Pete Alonso. I don't believe that. And quite frankly, with Soto and with the Anthos and with Lindor's, hitting another level here, I think that the reason I would fixate on the down year for Pete last year was because I was trying to contextualize what he's worth on the open market and really just how good of a player he was. Now that you've got Soto to absorb some of the pressure and make his life easier, I don't want to say it's immaterial if he hits 218. It's not. But number one, I don't think he will. And number two, if he did, you have other guys to pick up the slack when he finds himself.
Which, by the way, they did last year without Soto. Pete Alonso was not an impactful player for the Mets last year.
He wasn't last year. I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree.
And we talked about, we went over many times of all the players who were impactful. And by the way, that plays into my argument as well. Jose Iglesias, OMG thing. The Mets had those vibes. The whole Grimace stuff last year. There's no guarantee that that's going to carry over this year as well. Now, they're more talented, you would think, especially with Soto. But there's no guarantee. Alonso's issue is that he has not lived up to his own standard. Forget even the 53 home runs his rookie year. When you are a career 250, whatever hitter, and it was higher than that before his 217 year, to have a year where you hit 217, that's a significant drop off. And then last year he gets the average back up to 240, but then the power is down. He hits 12 fewer home runs or whatever it was, going from 46 to 34. And the year before he had 118 ribbies. Last year he had 88. So how could you not say that he's had two down years in accordance with what he has done before in his career and what you expect of him?
Well, because the down years, I think there's elements that were down, there's elements that were up. Right. I mean, so 2 years ago, he had, 46, 118, said? He doesn't have 46 every year. Like, that's one of his higher totals. He's had a couple of really big years, the 53, which broke Judge's rookie mark. But it's not like he's banging 50 or 52 every year. 46 was, I don't have it in front of me. How many, was that the third highest ever for him? Second?
It was second highest.
Yeah,
but
so how's that down?
I would rather have, no, the power numbers weren't down.
That's why I'm saying it's selectively down. Well, now, if he hits 217 or 220 with 33 home runs, now we could say if it happens again, now we'll say he is absolutely going the wrong way. I just think there's a slight uptick.
217 is embarrassing.
I agree, but it's also an anomaly up until now.
He's not a six hitter.
I hear you. He's not Verdugo. He's not an eight hitter on the back. I get you.
He's supposed to be their star. He's an all-star. He hit 217.
But that was once. Okay. Has he earned a little pass? And I'm not even a big Pete Alonso fan.
I would rather the 262 batting average, like in 2021, 262 batting average, 37 homers, 94 ribbies. It's not the highest power numbers, but the average at 262, solid power numbers, 37-94. The year after that, obviously, was his best year outside of his rookie year, 271, 40, 131. So that's where you want Alonso, between 35 homers, 100 RBI, and you want him to hit 250. And he did not do that the last couple of years. Yeah, the power is up. Would you take another year of Pete hitting 217 and hitting 45 homers? I would not.
That's actually a really good question. Here's the thing. If he hits 45 home runs, now, if he's hitting third, I don't like him three. So if you're hitting three, you can't hit 217. That's a given. But if he hits 45 home runs with Lindor and Soto in front of him, he's going to have 150 ribbies.
Yeah, I'll take that. Point is, we'll see. But that to me is a question mark where he has been inconsistent the last couple of years. Mike is in Oceanside. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Mike.
Good. What's up, Mike?
good. I don't think they got hot at the right time last year. They were like the best team from June on.
Mm-hmm. And they barely made the playoffs, right?
And then, yeah, but because of, you know, the slow start.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they're going to have that. I don't think they're going to have that slow start. And I don't think this team is like past teams where the superstars are there for the wrong reasons. Like you take Lindor. Lindor, he hit that grand slam in the playoffs. He wasn't over-celebrating because the job wasn't done. He's got that mentality, and that's a good mentality to have. I think they have a good mix of older and younger guys with the manager. And like you guys said, you know, I believe in the GM. I believe in the owner. From top to bottom, I think they're in a very, very good place. And I think that they're going to be set up for success.
Yeah, I think so too. Now they actually have to go out there and do it, and thank you for the call. That's all that I'm saying. They seem to be set up for success. They have been set up for success before. Maybe not to the extreme now with Cullen and the minor league levels and the money invested. Understood. But forget that, because the Mets have had success as a team before. 06 to 07, you know what the talk was? Wright and Reyes, they're loaded, they're going to take over the town, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
07, collapse, they wash it down, closing out Shea Stadium with a collapse. Now, that has nothing to do with today. But in 2022, after the Mets fell short, blew the division with Lindor, with Nimmo, with Alonso, with McNeil, this core with better pitching, they blew the division in 2022, washed it down after a big offseason in 2023, bringing in Verlander. They stunk in 2023. So they were great last year since June on, had a great run in the postseason, but now we expect them again to follow it up. And we need to actually see it. That's all that I'm saying.
I get it, Sal. Now, let me ask you this, though. When you talk about the three components, the owner, the GM, the manager. Now, the manager's role's changed. It's been devalued over the years, obviously, because a lot of the numbers are pointing teams in the direction of what to do. How would you put in the order of preference for you what's most important, one through three, the owner, the GM, the manager?
Probably the GM.
The GM one.
Yeah, because we've seen... a part of me wants to say Steve Cohen, I'd rather have that, which I would, but we have seen brilliant GMs.
Yep.
You know, whether it's Oakland, whether it's Tampa Bay.
Yep, we've seen, I get it. Okay.
Okay.
So, and that's debatable. I might go that way. I think in the Mets situation, I go owner, because without owner,
it
you don't have
different.
Soto.
Yep.
You probably don't have Lindor either for over $300 million. And who knows if they would have given Pete, made him the highest AAV. So in this situation, I'm going to go the owner. The Mets could go 81-81 this year. They still got the owner. The Mets' arms can be all over the map, or, God forbid, knock on wood, they could have a slew of injuries to important pieces. I think they still have a really shrewd GM and a young, adaptable GM. And I think they've got a really good manager. So, again, I it's almost two different conversations. I get it. It's like, why should we sit here when a team that was closer to not being a playoff team than they were a World Series participant, why such conviction that it's just going to seamlessly blend in? I don't know that it will. What I'm saying is, big picture, they're set up to be good for a while.
Your team is going to be there with you for the next 6-7 months, and you have it for the most part every single night. You mentioned the word companion. That is it. There is no better companion in the world of sports than your baseball team.
I love it. I miss it. And when it comes back, it seems like it comes back. If it was another week, I'm like, I don't know if I can make it. But it's just like the timing. It's like that internal clock that a quarterback has when he's got to bounce out of the pocket. Like, our internal clock says, all right, thank God baseball's back. And not only that, but, you know, the weather starts changing. I've often said pretty soon the Masters is going to come, and I love golf. I don't watch it like I used to. I don't play like I used to. But for those of us who do play, Recco, Boomer, Geo, every day it seems, he's lucky to get out. It's great. I mean, we kind of get out of our homes, and we live again. So let's go.
This past weekend, and I know you're busy with the Johnnies and all that stuff, but this was the last weekend without baseball for a while here. Nestle in. We're going to have baseball, Mets and Yanks, wall-to-wall for the next several months, so looking forward to it. And we'll be out at the stadium on Thursday. Is that official? I heard Boomer and Geo mentioning it.
Yeah.
I guess we could say it.
Yeah, I think so.
So we'll be out at the stadium.
Unless they get the memos and we're not. Are they gonna run it? Is the new boss going to run it through Boomer and Geo?
We'll be out at the stadium on Thursday. And then tomorrow, a special show.
Yes.
We'll be at MLB Network, which is becoming a little tradition here.
Yeah.
We did it last year, had some fun at the MLB Network, so we'll be doing that tomorrow as well.
All right, so I'm on the kind of a little bit on the IL with the shoulder impingement still.
Yeah.
So when I was taking Harold Reynolds deep last year,
not
I'm going to hand the baton to you. You know. You ready to take a few hacks here or what?
I mean, I'm always ready. All I don't know. It's not my thing.
All right, but we got to get you. We got to get a couple of hacks on camera.
BT and Sal, the fans, get back to the phone, start of the show, talk about the Mets. And it's not that I don't think the Mets are going to be good. It's that we've been down this road before. It'd actually be nice to see it. I know we can't have that happen right now, wave the magic wand and have them succeed, but we've never, ever seen this Mets franchise have sustained success. We have multiple times before thought we were on the verge of seeing sustained success. Will this finally be the year? I need to see it before I believe it. Danny is calling from Chesapeake Bay. What's up, Danny?
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? Love the show. I'm a Jersey guy, so it's nice to listen to you guys every day. Give me a slice of home.
Thank you.
I called in last year, and you know, right when I started their playoff run, you were like, Danny, you have to recalibrate your expectations. And I agree with everything you said. I'm 54 years old, and I've been sucked in every time you've been sucked in as a fan and been let down. But after that phone conversation last year, I decided to start walking like a, and thinking like a winner. And I expect them to play better this year. I expect them to play at least to the back of their baseball cards. You know what I mean? I don't think they're all going to have it down here. And
Danny, real quick, Danny. So, by the way, you stopped walking around work like a loser is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. You know, for once in my life with the Mets, you know what I mean? Hey, it's been a long time. So I expect them to be better. You know, I'm concerned about the pitching, but I think that the bullpen is going to be a supply strength of this team and that we'll get some more length and depth out of that starting pitching later on in the season. But Sal, recalibrate your expectations. I know nobody knows what anybody's going to do on any team, but I expect them to be winning and playing winning baseball this year. I even went out and played for the whole season the MLB package this year instead of doing month-to-month. That's how confident I am in my Mets. He's getting off to a better
start.
Well,
there you go. And thank you for the call, Danny. It's not that I don't have high expectations for them. I've had high expectations for them before. I love the addition of Juan Soto. I believed in Steve Cohen and David Stearns to pull off something that not many people thought was going to be a realistic thing in getting Juan Soto. I like the look of their lineup a lot. I just feel like when you step back and think about it and say, okay, well, I don't like the pitching staff at all. And the answer that everybody has, because the majority of us look at it and say, man, that's not a World Series winning rotation. What's the answer?
Well, Stearns knows what he's doing. And Hefner.
Well, we didn't like it last year, but Stearns and Hefner in the pitching lab, okay, that's great. It worked once. Is it going to work again? I don't know. And he mentioned an important part of this equation as well. Because of that starting rotation, the one thing that is a known, the Mets are going to be going to these guys early on, and they're not going to be getting any length out of them. That means 4 or 5 innings. What does that do? That taxes the bullpen. A bullpen that I think is good on paper, it's not loaded bullpen, lights out bullpen, Diaz velocity is down. Minter gave up a home run yesterday to some guy on the Yankees that nobody's ever heard of before. So there are some issues in the bullpen. If they're overworked in April and May, even with the taxiing back and forth and bringing up the different arms who have options, I think they're playing a very dangerous game early on in the season. And I'm not sold 100% that it's going to work.
But they're not playing a dangerous game by design. Like if they, and I don't love the Montas. I don't even like the Montas signing. But Montas was expected to be in the rotation. And obviously, Manaea was expected to lead the rotation. So 40% of what they had, you know, mapped out for 162-game regular season is gone. That's not, for now, that's not, that's out of your control. Now, could they have traded for somebody going to the season a little bit, you know, stronger, Dylan Cease?
Montas is always hurt.
He's always hurt, true. So
that's on Stearns.
I agree. And when the Yankees traded for him, I'm like, what are we doing? When the Mets signed him, I'm like, what are you doing? 2 years, $32 million. I just thought it was idiotic. I don't think Montas does much at all this year. But here's the beautiful thing about baseball. You just talk about how, you know, baseball's back and it's awesome. And I want to contrast it to football, and I want to incorporate the Mets from a year ago. So, and we've done this so many times outside of 2022 with the Giants. The Jets and the Giants, what happens? They start out September 0-4, 1-3. It's middle of October. Who are we drafting? Who are we firing? What are we doing? Season's over. Last year, the Mets were 22-33 in late May, 11 games under 500, and they wound up making the playoffs. So I say that while it's unsatisfying and maybe alarming if the Mets were to get off to a bad start this year like last year, there's 5 months to make up ground.
Right. I know.
And a lot of wild card spots.
And maybe that team taught us something we'll see in season. I don't think fans would have patience, especially with the raised expectations.
It'll be a little different. I'll give you that. It would be louder. There's no doubt. No doubt.
But we could also look at that and say, hey, whether it's for the Yankees or the Mets, it doesn't really matter if they start slow. Well, look at what the Mets did a year ago. There's always that reference point. Nick is on Long Island. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
What's happening, buddy?
Two things. Well, obviously, one, I know you guys are talking about the Mets starting rotation. I totally agree. I think nowhere where it needs to be. Possible guys I think they could go after would definitely be Alcantara. Obviously, that's a name that's been thrown around with the Mets and the Yankees. But I just don't see why he would come to either team. I just don't think he's healthy enough yet. Another guy I think that the Mets could definitely look into is Jared Jones from Pittsburgh. Loved what he's done. Obviously, Paul Skenes is the main guy out there, and they want to keep him around for a very long time. But I think Jared Jones is definitely a young arm the Mets to go and grab and get some innings out of early in the trade deadline. I think that's definitely a young option. But the second thing is what Brett Beatty's done in spring training. I think that's gone not talked about enough. Do you think if he can finally translate from being a quadruple-A player to an MLB guy, that he could maybe take the job from McNeil?
But here's the problem, Nick, and thank you for the call. He's another one. He's had great spring trainings before. You want to get sucked in again? Go ahead. I'm not doing it. Now, I'm not saying he can't be. I already said this last year. Vientos not going to be any good, blah, blah, blah. And that wasn't just me. Like, that's stuff you hear from people who cover the team and people who were in the organization or are, whatever. And by the way, look at their actions. If they thought Vientos was going to be a stud,
mm-hmm.
he would have started the team. He would have started the season in the big league.
And they wouldn't have sent him down a few times when he came up, hit a home run, and sent him right back down.
Bingo. So they weren't even sure what they had in there.
Yep.
Doesn't excuse me, but I'm just saying.
I didn't like him. Nobody liked
I'm
him.
I'm just giving him the facts. So with Beatty, I'm not going to write him off and say he's toast. He'll never be a big leaguer. I hope he takes advantage of this, which is probably going to be the final opportunity to really stick in the big leagues. What I'm saying is he has had good springs before, and I would not put any stock, whether it is Dominguez's defense in the outfield in spring,
mm-hmm.
whether it is Clay Holmes' dominance, whether it is Brett Beatty's dominance. I'm not putting any stock whatsoever in spring training numbers.
I'm going to put a little more stock in Holmes because he's done it at a high level. Granted, different situations. He's added a new pitch. They've tweaked a few things. I think Clay Holmes is going to be really good. I'm kind of with you on Beatty, and I was all in on Beatty. You know, I have a thing for lefties going back to Danny Murphy. Of course, Mattingly. I don't know. I just always do it. And I think that if this was a year ago, and he had a good spring last year too, which is why I made the team. But if he was doing this last year, like I would have been to this extent. I think he's got four home runs, hit another one yesterday, maybe even two, whatever it was. I would be a little more enthusiastic about his presence on the team. He's not a pitcher. I'm not worried about the Mets scoring runs. Like, I think last year, without Soto, without knowing what Vientos was, without Lindor fully establishing himself as a superstar, without some of the other components, I'm like, geez, I don't know if this Mets team's going to score a lot of runs. So I know they're going to score. If they get anything from Beatty, it's gravy. I don't know if I love him at second because the pitching staff's going to need some help, and I don't think you get a lot of help from Pete and Beatty on the right side, but we'll see.
And think about it this way when you evaluate spring training numbers. Maybe there are certain things you want to take from it. You want to take Holmes, fine, but I wouldn't look at the numbers specifically. Aaron Judge having a bad bad spring training.
Yeah, he's having a real bad. He's hitting like 160,
so
whatever
it is. Is anybody concerned about that?
No, but I saw the number pop up on the screen yesterday. I'm like, yeah, come on.
I know, but
I didn't like seeing it, but I hear you.
I don't even think twice about it. He had a bad April last year. Now, you don't want that again this year without Soto there. Point is, I'm not worried. Alonso's not having a good spring training.
Yeah.
Like, Beatty's got four homers, you mentioned. I think Pete's got two, and he hit one yesterday, whatever.
Yeah, yesterday.
Okay, so do we think Beatty's going to outproduce Pete Alonso? No, and that's kind of my point. It's such a small sample size. And there are many factors along the way in spring training that I just can't put merit in the numbers.
Again, I'm pretty much with you. I think, you know, we learned with Butch Husky and some other Hensley Mullins. We've seen this song and dance. Yankees and Met prospects or slightly beyond prospect, like a Volpe, who had a great spring a couple years ago. That's why he won the job. And then the season starts and he's not quite that. It's funny, though. Like, speaking of Volpe, because it's now year three, because he had a really down season, but then he showed some flash with the Guardians, the Royals, and hit the Grand Slam of the World Series, hit the ball very hard in October, I thought, put up some good at-bats, put up some good numbers. While I'm with you, I don't put a lot of stock in the numbers in the spring. I don't love seeing him hit 150, which is what he's doing now, because to me, it's not a continuation of whatever he learned or adjusted to in October. I feel better about Volpe, but again, I'm largely with you. But I would say selectively, there's a couple of things I'm looking for, and I would like to see Volpe perform a little bit.
Why are we so sure that this team is finally going to have the sustained success that we'd all been waiting for a long time? Did you see, well, I know you saw it because we talked about it on the pre-show meeting, Brandon Nimmo's comments to Tim Healy in Newsday, quote, "We're not going to be the second team in New York anymore. We want to be New York's team. We want to command respect for the Mets' name." Pretty powerful quotes from Brandon Nimmo. Right?
I like it, and I don't think it's hyperbolic or sloppy or presumptuous. Like I think it's an honest thought from a really honest and I think good-hearted and strong competitor in Nimmo.
Leader of the team as well.
Yep. Now I don't love him as a player the way some do. I like him. I love his makeup and I love his fire. But you know, there's some deficiencies that I pointed out. But he's certainly respected and he's certainly good enough to be in the middle of the lineup for a good team. But I think that when you say that, I think you're speaking for an entire locker room. I don't think you say that unless there's evidence during spring training that the team's been galvanized further with the arrival of Soto. Even more confident with the success of last year, which bleeds into emotionally this year. I think it's a Mets team that expects to be good. I think last year they hoped to be good. I think this year they expect to be good, and they should.
I love the quote. Love it. That's what they should be saying. We asked Lindor about it. We had Lindor on, basically teed him up for that multiple times.
Yeah.
He avoided it.
Yeah.
Here's a leader in Brandon Nimmo. I know everybody looks at Lindor as the future captain. Nimmo is just as much of a leader of that team as Lindor is. The difference is Lindor has done it on the field regularly. Nimmo has yet to do that. Mm-hmm. He's got to have a big year. But I love that comment. Love the quote. Love the attitude. Now they actually have to just go out there and do it because we've heard this before. Similar to what I was talking about the Mets sustaining success, it was the same thing. 06, oh, this is going to be a Mets town. Mets are going to take over the town. The difference is in the 80s, they did own the town. It's been 40 years since that's been the case. And obviously the Yankees have built such a run of sustained success. Forget about their great history. The fact that the Yankees don't have that drop-off, they haven't even allowed an open space for the Mets to really take this town. But because of Soto, because of the Mets now feeling themselves a little bit, because of the owner, if they could go out there and stamp their year last year with a successful year this year, maybe catch the Yankees a little vulnerable if things don't go their way, then maybe you could start to see the Mets being the premier team in this town for the first time since the 80s.
Listen, I said this about St. John's. When you skip multiple generations, as St. John's did in terms of being really, really, truly relevant, like top of the Big East and top 10 relevant, there's a diminishment in the brand. There's a drop in the passion for the product. Now, the Mets obviously have not had the kind of drop that St. John's had prior to Rick Pitino arriving because they were in the World Series in 2015 and right. They won 101 games in 2022. And they've had a couple of great players along the way, some great young pitchers that transcended the game for a moment. But the thing about the Yankees, like the Yankees never give their fans a window to even think right. about allowing apathy to creep in. Like, it's like, oh,
it's a year.
84 wins? No, unacceptable.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is the standard that has been set for the Yankees, and that is the standard that the Mets are trying to establish themselves.
It's a great point, BT, the way that you say that, and it makes me think about just cleaning it up a little bit. The Mets are still in the infancy stages of trying to build that.
They are.
It takes forever. I felt this 2 years ago that we were going to get on this path and see the Mets start to build something similar to the Yankees model. The problem is they're in the infant stages of it, and it could start to happen this year, and maybe they win a World Series. Like, who knows? Could they win the World Series this year? Yeah, anything's possible, but it's really about chasing that sustained success, and that takes a while to see. We might be in the beginning of it, but I also thought we were in the beginning of it in 2022.
So did I. I did too.
So and then they had that down year in 2023, yeah. And what'd they do? Smartly pivoted.
They did.
To trading guys away and bringing in some of the younger guys. We still are so in the early stages, so much so that we haven't even seen the young guys that the brand new GM from a year ago, Stearns, he drafted and brought up. You talked about it yesterday, that pitching. That's going to be really the next thing. And once that happens,
yeah.
Then they are going to take off. But that may take a couple years.
It does. I mean, now, what did I say? Three of their top six prospects are pitchers, two of whom who are at Double A. Obviously, the injury to the stud from last year. Listen, I think that when you look at what Cohen's tried to do, and it's been so interesting and so welcoming for Met fans, like retiring Kuzman's number and getting Keith's number 17 up there, and finally, hey, Doc and Darryl, come have your day, man. But the way the Mets really, and this is not about the Yankees, it's just I'm reacting to what Nimmo said. You want to take over the town, you've got to give Met fans, not just for a year or two, but you've got to give them an Aaron Judge for a decade. You've got to, and you know, and that's why I think now that Pete Alonso is never going to be Aaron Judge, but that's why I think the retention of Pete for at least another year or two, just to kind of see who really is the real Pete Alonso, give him the benefit of the doubt for what he means to the fans and as a preeminent home run hitter. But these are all things that you, I don't care how much money you have, you cannot buy right. history, and you really, you could try to buy competence, and it's been so, look at Jerry Jones.
Right.
I mean, so it's a, look at Dolan for the, most of the century, not anymore. It's not easy.
Yeah, and you just can't spend the money and build it. Now, maybe the other years we could poke holes and say, well, I don't know if this is right, whether it's ownership, whether it's financial backing, whatever it may be. Right now, there's only one thing, at least in my mind, I think yours as well, that's missing from this. And that's the actual results, the winning. Everything else, couldn't ask for anything better. Got the mega superstar, big time players, big contracts, rich owner who's willing to spend as much as possible, smart GM, forward thinking, has his way. They had some success a year ago. We like the young manager. The franchise, to your words, the healthiest that it's ever been. So all of the pieces are in place, except the most important one, the results.
Well, because they're not even at the place yet where we can say with great confidence, I don't believe it, so I don't say it. I don't think you believe it. You think it could happen, but nobody's sitting here saying the Mets are absolutely the best team in the division.
Right.
I mean, so you're not even at that point. See, forget about the Dodgers.
Right.
I mean, that's a massive bridge that eventually the Mets will have to cross this year, next year. Dodgers going nowhere. I mean, it's just going to get tougher and tougher, more Japanese players, etc. And, you know, eventually, I think to get to that point where Nimmo thinks they will get and where they desperately want to get, you've got to at least enter seasons perennially the favorite in your division.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the starting
and
point.
And I don't want to hear about the luck of the draw. Well, their division's the best division in baseball. The
for years, the Yankees had the Red Sox, and everybody was hopped up on steroids, man. Yep. Everybody was hard.
Don't care.
You had Pedro.
Don't want to hear it. Go beat them. You should have had the Braves beat in 2022. You didn't. I didn't lose that division. You didn't lose that division, although some people think that I did. They did. They lost at this core. Go out there and win the division. You're right. It should start with that, and it feels like, I don't know. That's kind of the whole point behind this thing. BT and Sal on the fan. Jim is calling from Bordentown. What's up, Jim?
Jimmy.
What's up, Jim?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Hey, nothing much. Hey, first and foremost, you guys are the best. I mean, really. Best show on WFAN, hands down.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Did you even say thank you? We really do appreciate that. Thanks, Jim. What's going on?
Tell us more, please.
Yeah, keep going. There are more platitudes, please. More. Jimmy.
We got a significant delay there. Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
If you're going to tell me Pete Alonso... All right. If you're going to tell me Pete Alonso is going to have 46 home runs and 118 RBIs, I don't care if he hits 217. Mm-hmm. Okay? Like, with that lineup, the thing that scares me is Nimmo hitting behind him. I'm going to be honest. I think Nimmo hitting behind him is a concern. I'd rather have Pientos hit behind him.
I mean, I don't trust Nimmo.
I don't trust behind him that's going to really protect him.
Why not? Yeah. And we got to let you go, Jim. And thank you for the kind words and for the call, but you had a delay there.
Delay there.
Why not? And this is, in my mind, I believe Vientos is eventually going to be the three hitter. I just think he's a better hitter than Pete Alonso. Why not have Vientos 3 and Pete 5? If you're okay with him hitting 217, you don't care, then hit him 5th. I do care about batting average. I think it tells how good a hitter somebody is.
Yeah.
And there are times where you're going to need hits to drive in runs as opposed to home runs. Nobody's minimizing the value of a home run, but there are situations you're going to need hits. It is easier to get a hit than it is to hit a home run. There's a reason for it. You have 40 home runs if you're a great home run hitter, 40 to 50 home runs throughout the course of a year. You should have 200 hits if you're or something close to that if you're a good hitter. So I want to see Pete, especially if you're the three hitter. And I don't care that the sport has changed and the three hitter isn't what it used to be. He, if he's hitting third behind Lindor and Soto, Pete Alonso better hit higher than 217.
Yeah, I mean he will. I mean, and if not, then he's not the player. He's going in the wrong direction, and it's no longer an outlier. It's now okay. now he's going to eventually be an ex-Met because this is who he's becoming. I agree clearly. Like, when we were growing up, I mean, come on, you guys had Hernandez, we had Mattingly, Donaldson before his back hitting 320, 330, Keith is clutch, they come, George Brett, Wade Boggs, I know Wade hit leadoff a little bit as well, but, like, the three-hitter was a rarefied spot. It's changed, obviously. But
without steroids, sorry, BT, but like the sport has evolved, right? So even without steroids, where those batting averages might have been inflated, pre-steroids, batting averages were still high for good hitters.
Correct.
And I think post-steroids, the sport diminished the value of good hitters.
Yes.
The launch angle, all this stuff, that it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean something in the game of baseball. It still means a lot.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I think we're kind of speaking the same language with the three-hitter here, but... Like, I do agree with this. Everybody says, oh, baseball, a batting average is an antiquated stat. Let me tell you why it's not. So let's just, now, again, he can't hit 217 again. I don't think he will. And if he does, he can't hit third. I don't even want to hit in fifth at that point necessarily. But if you're a 217 hitter, even if you have 46 home runs and 130 ribbies, eventually you're going to be up there against, now, Devin Williams, he took deep, a situation like that where you're down a run. Like Gary Carter leading off the last inning with he wasn't necessarily threatened at either, but a rocket to Jim Rice in left field. Okay, I'm going to get a base hit, and I'm going to scratch out a good at-bat to just keep the train moving, give my team a chance to score a run against a Devin Williams, against a Mariano, against an Eckersley, against whatever closer you want to talk about right now or in the history of the game. So you get a more competitive at-bat that is indisputable and irrefutable. 270 hitter versus 217. Don't tell me about the OPS, which I also love.
Right.
But in terms of having a quality grind out at bat and knowing what a ball is and what a strike is, the 270 hitter is twice as good, even though he's not literally twice as good in terms of 270 versus 217. Yep. That guy is going to give you more of a chance to win. Forget about home runs. You're going to get on base more.
Good,
that's it.
Good hitters don't hit 217.
No.
Now, you could have a bad year. And that could be the outlier. And so far, it has been as far as the average. But the last 2 years, it's either been the average that's down or then last year the power that was down. Now, you could say that you'd rather have a year where Pete hits 217 and hits 46 and 118, fine, with a higher OPS. Or last year. I don't think last year was good. He hit 240. That's not a great batting average.
He was down last year.
Yeah, for him, that's not enough to justify the 34.
I agree. What if he hit 23 home runs and hit 290?
I mean, then he's not Pete Alonso. I like that player better, but he's supposed to do something different.
Yeah.
So, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. More of your calls, 888-808-1019 on the Fan.